It's time to go exploring in Maine. Memorial Day weekend is here, and yes, the onslaught of summer tourists are on their way, but that doesn't mean Mainers can't go out and explore our own beautiful state. Chances are there are beaches you haven't visited, trails you haven't hiked, and scenic places still on your bucket list. Maybe it's time to do a wildlife tour or a food festival or check out a new museum. And don't forget about all of the fascinating historic sites here in Maine. I'm Cindy Hahn. Today, a panel of experts joins me to share some tips and insights on summer travel in our region. We'll hear about well-known attractions as well as some little-known destinations. And we want to hear from you about some of your favorite getaways as well. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Cindy Hahn, and this is Maine Calling. At long last, it's warming up, it's a holiday weekend, and we are all ready for summer. We're talking about summer travel today. Where can you go in and around Maine for scenery, adventure, family fun, and more? We'll get suggestions from our expert panel and from you. Joining me in the studio, Mary Poles. She is editor of Maine Women Magazine and also editor of 95 North, a seasonal travel publication. Brian Kevin is editor-in-chief of Down East Magazine. And Steve Lyons is director of Maine Office of Tourism. As always, we want to hear from you. Is there a favorite place in Maine that you or your family loves to visit? Are you looking for fresh ideas for where to go this summer? Our phone number is 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. And Steve, I wanted to ask you, we are about to get a huge influx of tourists. It's Memorial Day weekend. Give us a sense of how much tourism summertime brings to Maine.
Well, summertime is the most important season for the state of Maine. It's the largest volume of traffic that we get for visitation. We get about 60% of the visitors that come to the state come in the summer months. And we look at the summer months as being sort of between May and August. There's a lot of projections that are floating around out there. The AAA office has indicated that they are expecting 43 million people to travel during the Memorial Day weekend nationwide, not just in Maine, fortunately.
Okay. That was a little scary.
So 43 million people nationwide, and the U.S. Travel Association is looking at projections of about 2.5% increase in leisure visitation throughout the country this year. So we do expect a positive year this year for Maine as well.
And so Memorial Day weekend is when it starts off, and does it really kind of stay at peak levels all the way through Labor Day?
Well, I mean, Memorial Day certainly is one of the busiest. It's sort of the kickoff, unofficial start, I guess. Well, maybe it's official start. I don't know. But it stays fairly steady through the month of August, and then it starts to taper off slightly. And then in the fall, we get about 25% of our visitation, and the remainder of the visitors for the year come in the winter months.
We got leaf peepers and snowbirds and everything all through the year. Well, great. Mm-hmm. Mary, you not only edit Maine Women Magazine, you're also the editor of a seasonal travel publication. So tell us about some of what you're highlighting in some of the current issues of 95 North.
Well, I just went down to our big printing press area to see if I could find June, which is supposedly hot off the presses at any moment. And that is focused on Portland. But we also, within this guide, we do these things called 10 by 10, where we have 10 hot spots that we recommend for 10 grouped together exits. And, you know, given how many exits there actually are on 95 headed north, some of them get a lot of focus. And some of the other ones, it's like, okay, from Lewiston up to Bangor, up to Katahdin. But anyway, our focus on Portland, I wrote a lot about food.
Which, not surprisingly.
Yeah. I mean, that's what everybody's here for, right?
Mm-hmm. How many exits are there going all the way up?
I think 233, or maybe it's even more.
Wow. So do you find in researching these, do you discover completely something you had no idea was there?
Well, I discovered that in the past, the magazine has sort of abandoned Maine after Augusta.
Oh.
And so I always feel like, you know, for me, I grew up in Maine, but I never went to Baxter until a couple of years ago. So I'm trying to do some more emphasis on that. I feel like everybody, you know, tourists come to see this beautiful park, but maybe Mainers don't go there enough.
That's so much, yeah, that's so much of a phenomenon that whoever, wherever you live, you don't go to the big thing there. And which is why, Brian, I guess you guys do the scavenger hunt in Downey's Magazine.
That's exactly the motivating factor, yeah, to try and get people outside of their comfort zone a little bit and, you know, dangle oddball prizes in front of them if they're willing to get out of their comfort zone and see some place they've never seen.
And I understand we had good timing today. It's national.
So says a text that I got about 5 minutes before the show. It was a Slack, actually. Today is National Scavenger Hunt Day. So we've been doing this for 3 years, and we get people who try and, you know, fulfill these 38 tasks all across the state. And honestly, one thing that I've kind of gotten out of it is you meet these people because they come by the office as one of their tasks, who are super enthusiastic and are, you know, doing it by the dozens and dozens this year. Is just like how nicely it structures your recreation time. And in my neck of the woods, the Coastal Mountains Land Trust has like a series of, I'm going to get this wrong, guys, but a couple dozen preserves that are around the Midcoast. And they have something similar where you get a little like piece of paper. You can check off all the ones you've been to. The Maine Beer Trail obviously does this. And I really like it. So I'm going to try to do it with the Coastal Mountains Land Trust this summer. And I like the way that it eliminates Saturdays where you wake up and aren't really sure what to do with yourself, you know?
Well, it's so interactive. Can you highlight a couple things that you think are really neat?
Oh, sure. So it gets broken down into categories. There's one thing that one of my colleagues had done this year I'd never done. You have to go to the Norway Music and Arts Festival, which is July 13th. Have you guys ever been?
No.
That sounds like a super good time. And among other things, you're going to join a crowd there that's trying to break the world's record for the most people reciting a poem simultaneously. So it's just a cool festival because it sounds like it really has like a multi-arts focus. There's some literature. There's some music. There's some dance. There's a film component. There's all kinds of outdoor stuff. You know, there's heading out to Cranberry Island and poking around the Preblemar Historical Museum, which is just in the middle of or sort of on the tail end of some interesting renovations and doing some cool stuff out there. There's classic stuff like find yourself over at the Lobster Shack, which is celebrating a 50th anniversary this year. And you take selfies at all these locations, of course. So you'll then upload them to, I guess it's downeast.com, Great Maine Scavenger Hunt. And you can do the whole enchilada for some sort of ridiculous, you get some sort of subscription and you get your picture hung on our wall and you're invited to come by and look at it anytime you want to and hang out and drink beer out of our fridge. Or you can just finish a single category, which is a little bit more accomplishable for most people.
Probably a lot of people doing
that's
that.
That's what we see a lot of.
You could always Photoshop a selfie of yourself.
Oh, we're so hip to that. We have systems in place.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I remember I actually read the article and I was interested to say, make sure you show your feet on the ground so that we know it's not a
right.
Green screen or something.
Yeah, and we're not dogmatic about it. You know, like it's all in the name of fun, but we do like ask that you, you know, stand in front of the waterfall and, you know, make sure you get your hair wet, that
kind
of thing.
Can't fake that. Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, we sort of touched upon this phenomenon of people living right here in Maine and saying, why do I go to other places in the summer? You know, why do I fly away when everything's happening right here? So we're just going to try to, in 1 hour, to cover as many categories as we can. So I'll start tossing them out. One of the things that Maine is best known for is scenic places where, you know, beautiful natural places to go. So each one of you maybe offer up either an obvious place or a less obvious place for natural beauty. Who wants to go?
Well,
Mary, go for
it. I'm gonna steal it in case you two have it on your list, but I feel a great need to go to Stonington every summer.
Yeah, sure.
And that's a place that I discovered as an adult moving back to Maine 9 years ago. And I feel like all I do is camp at this old quarry place, and it's, you know, right on the water. And then we go to Sand Beach, and then we eat in the same place and get ice cream at the same place. But to me, I feel like, okay, my summer has really arrived when we get to Stonington.
There's no question that Stonington is phenomenal. I mean, I grew up in another state. I don't know if I can admit that as a tourism director, but I grew up in Vermont, and you know, I'm used to lakes and mountains, so I tend to go to lakes and mountains when I'm looking for things. You know, one of my favorite spots always has been is Mount Kineo. I just think going a hike up Mount Kineo in the middle of Moosehead Lake is just one of those places that, you know, it when I first saw a picture of it years ago and I first went up there, I said, wow, there's this mountain that's just like shooting 700 feet directly up from the water on one side in the sort of the middle of the lake. And it just kind of blew me away. And I said, well, this is definitely a place that I have to visit, and I have. And
great.
I love that little hike because it's a very family-friendly hike, too.
It's not too tough.
No, it's not.
Oh, great.
The only challenge is getting, well, I wouldn't say it's a challenge, getting out there. You do have to take a boat to get out there. If either you have your own, but there is a shuttle service that runs out to Kineo Island or it's really a peninsula, but there's a shuttle service that runs out there, and you can hop on that and do a hike.
Great. How about you, Brian?
I have a coveted campground reservation at Duck Harbor Campground this year, which is on Isle of Ho. So you begin in Stonington and go out there. I'm super excited for that because they fill up like immediately. That's, of course, this island outpost of Acadia that doesn't quite get a lot of traffic, but it's the same kind of rocky coast, lower hills. But in the neighborhood of seeing Acadia a different way, like our most scenic place but can sometimes be, you know, full of cars and people, there's this new tour we just wrote about. It's called Acadia by Sea, and it's offered by the folks who run the Bar Harbor Whale Watch, I believe. And so my colleague across the hall just went up and got to check out the, like, sweet new catamaran that it happens on, and it sounds like a pretty amazing craft. And they sort of take you from Bar Harbor on the classic route along the island to see the skyline, the peaks, and everything. But then they cross you across Frenchman Bay, and you also get a little tour of the Scudic Peninsula, which doesn't get the same amount of eyeballs. And so it's a great way to kind of sightsee Acadia without having to deal with driving, and also lay eyes on Scudic, where I would recommend people check out if you want to get that classic Acadia and avoid some of the crowds.
Great. Nice tips. Before we move to another category, do you have any other scenic ones that you just have to talk about?
Oh, you know what I wouldn't mind shouting out is the Penobscot River Trails. Did either of you guys make it up there in the winter? This
No.
is a spot in around Grindstone. It's on Route 11, a little bit south of the National Monument. It just opened this winter for skiers. It's like 15 miles of trails, free, started by a charitable organization that's been around for just a few months. I went and skied my brains out in there in the spring, and they're going to open to hikers and bikers this summer. And I think it's like kind of the crushed stone pathways, again, like you see on the carriage roads in Acadia, but right along the east branch of the Penobscot. Got nice Northwoods feel, and I mean, I was all alone up there a couple months ago. I imagine that'll probably still be the case this summer.
Really great. Okay, here's another big category to cover: family fun, which doesn't necessarily mean with little kids. It can be bigger ones as well, but family-friendly kind of places around the state.
As a vacationer coming from another state, you know, not that I'm trying to emphasize that, but you know, as kids, we used to come over to York Beach and Wells Beach every year, and York Beach, the community of York Beach is one of those communities that just has that summer feel. It, you know, you go in, you got the arcade, you've got the, you know, taffy, you know, the makers, the goldenrod, and all those things, and the two beaches, Long Sands and Short Sands, ice cream place up the road. I mean, it's just one of those places, you know, you can go to Maine Wildlife Park. There's a story about that that probably would be too long for me to talk about now when I was growing up with my brother getting his... Well, he got his head stuck between the bars in one of the in one of the attractions, and they had to come cut the bars for him.
But did any wildlife come up to him when he was stuck?
No, this was actually in the amusement park. It was in the fun house because you have the rubber bars you kind of find and go through. Well, he tried to go through the metal bars and didn't quite make it. But I mean, the wildlife park there and the zoo and everything, I think it's a really great family attraction, that area.
Great. And Wells, you mentioned, too, that has the great nature trails going out to the beach, the Laud
Reserve. Yeah, Laudholm Farm.
That's one of my favorites.
Is a great place for some of the trails down there, yeah.
Terrific. All right. How about you, Mary? What do you say for family fun?
Well, I have a teenager now, so, you know, family fun
has shifted.
I mean, what I want to do this weekend, although I might be a little bit early because we've had such a cold spring, I've never been to the McLaughlin Homestead, you know, the place with the lilacs. Steve, would you tell me that I should get myself out there if I'm a real lilac fan?
Yeah, you definitely should get yourself out there. I mean, I've been by it a lot of times, but it's one of those places that I hear a lot about myself. I actually haven't been in, but I'm shaking my head yes because it's on my list as well.
Yeah, because it's probably like a week, right, of the perfect lilac blooms, and that's what I've been waiting for this entire miserable winter. But my son probably wouldn't want to come to that. On the other hand, I think I have him talked into going to Baxter with me again to make a different attempt at Katahdin this year.
Ooh, yeah, as a matter of fact, that McLaughlin Garden is this weekend is when they're actually doing their what they call it, the festival weekend, the Garden Lilac Festival weekend is this weekend.
Yeah, but you know, mine are completely closed up still.
Yeah, it's early, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we're late, but are yours starting to open?
Well, things are a little late, so I don't know. I mean, that's because I don't live that far from the McLaughlin Garden. So I don't know, maybe.
I wonder if they're out there like running heat lamps over the blooms to try to get them to
open by this
weekend.
It's always hard to time everything.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that
maybe Paris has a different climate. Maybe it's Paris has a different climate or something.
Yeah. Getting those festivals to hit at the right time is something I think the Damariscotta Fish Ladder has their Festival this weekend, is that right? And
I think
the Alewives are in full force.
I've done that with my kids, and they do a lot of fun little games and things where you do a little pretend fishing and some sort of little pretend bowling. I forgot about that, but that is a blast.
Yeah, you can taste smoked Alewives, and you just see hundreds of them swimming, so that's one of my favorites as well. You sort of mentioned outdoorsy. I'll kind of go into that now. I mean, that's another of Maine's strong suits, places for outdoor recreation, so Baxter is one. Anyone else want to toss out another great idea?
You know, when we did this show last year, I think Jennifer said, what's one thing, summer thing you haven't done yet that you want to do? And I said, go hang out on the islands in Penobscot Bay. I was embarrassed to say I'd never actually taken the ferry and gone to North Haven or Vinyl Haven. So last year, I made good on that promise, and I went out to North Haven with my kids and just biked around. It's an amazing place to bike.
So great, yeah.
Very little traffic. Getting your bike on the ferry is a bit of a pain in the butt, but very little traffic, relatively flat. You know, if you're pulling 80 pounds worth of kid as I was, it's like a fairly reasonable thing to do, and you can just stop at beaches along the way. We put swimming in the Vinyl Haven quarries in the family portion of the scavenger hunt, and that's an easy way. I think kids get a kick out of being out there.
Yeah, swimming
and
the quarry.
Ferry ride is pretty awesome if you're.
And know, there's something like everybody on North Haven waves at you when you're either running or biking, and they skirt you. I think it's a great place to do that with families. Exactly, we were worried about kids.
That's funny you mentioned that wave, because we were out there doing a photo shoot a couple of years ago for the tourism campaign, and the people on the island are saying everybody has their own unique wave on how they happen to do it. Might be a couple of fingers, might be a full wave or something like that.
The whole community has a memo out for how to wave.
This is my copywritten wave or something like that. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's a great place. And talking about kids, I mean, and then the restaurant right out there in the island with the pizzas that are made right there is great. You know, Rangeley is one of the areas that, you know, we've been up to with my family, and there's a new boat tour. They're Grey Ghost Adventures is a company up there that's now doing these boat tours. It's a pontoon boat, which is, you know, there are a lot of those around, a lot of those tours around. But the difference with this one is that they can accommodate 12 kayaks on it as well. So it's one of those great things where you can, you know, if you don't want to kayak all the way across the lake and then to get to the spot that you actually truly want to investigate, you can take this pontoon boat, you know, and then kayak, you know, they'll bring you across the lake, and then you get in your kayaks, then you can do the exploration and come back. And so I thought that was kind of a unique, interesting idea and an interesting concept.
Cool. Yeah.
Oh, you guys have so many great ideas, but we do need to take a quick break. And when we come back, your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Modern Pest, providing pest control services to homes and businesses since 1945. Learn more at modernpest.com.
45 men have held the office of the presidency. How have they changed it?
Presidents run to change things. America changes. We have new challenges every day, and some of the old challenges have new causes.
A look at the evolution of the executive. That's next time on The Takeaways Politics with Amy Walter from WNYC and PRI.
And you can hear that this evening at 7 o'clock.
Next time on Living on Earth, many less developed countries are already feeling the economic pinch from climate change.
These poor economies are 25% smaller than they would have been without the climate change we've already experienced.
I'm Steve Curwood. Economics, environmental justice, and climate change, next time on Living on Earth from PRI.
Join us for Living on Earth Sunday morning at 7.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Cindy Hahn. Today on the program, Summer Travel Ideas. Joining me, Brian Kevin, editor-in-chief of Down East Magazine. Steve Lyons is director of Maine Office of Tourism. And Mary Poles, editor of Maine Women Magazine and editor of 95 North. We want you to join the conversation, so call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Maine Calling Facebook page. And joining us on the line now is Suzette McAvoy. She's director of the Center for Maine Contemporary Art. Suzette, thanks for calling in.
Yes. Well, as usual, the art scene here in Maine this summer is just overflowing with great exhibitions and shows.
Tell us about some of the highlights that you would recommend.
Well, in addition to our shows here at CMCA with artists Ann Craven, Dan Mills, and Tectonic Industries, a young husband and wife artist team from Portland, all of which are the inaugural shows of each of those artists' works here in Maine, I'm looking forward to seeing the Vanguard show at the Portland Museum of Art, which is about the early years of the Haystack School. And then up at Colby, the Alex Katz Moby Dick exhibition, which I think is going to be fun for everyone. That's a show of the artist's early work. And then for the more adventurous types, I highly recommend a trip out to the Monhegan Museum. It's really a great, boat ride out there. And then, going to the museum out on the island there with a Maud Briggs Knowlton exhibition. She was one of the first women to paint out on the island and one of the first women to direct a museum at the Currier Museum of Art. So it's always fun to go out to an island. And as I think one of your earlier guests mentioned, going out to North Haven and Vinyl Haven, they both have great galleries on them. The Hopkins Gallery out on North Haven and the New Era Gallery out on Vinyl Haven are both fun to visit by ferry.
Well, terrific. Thank you for all the great suggestions, Suzette. Yeah. Suzette McAvoy is director of the Center for Maine Contemporary Art in Rockland. And actually, we have a sort of arts-related, actually it is arts-related, someone, Facebook message from Dagny saying, Camden is having its first Jazz Fest. Jazz in June, Friday through Sunday, June 14th through 16th. The Saturday night feature concert at the Opera House with the Kenny Barron Trio and more. A dance party Friday night at the Snow Bowl and Mountainside Jazz there Saturday afternoon. Free performances Friday night, Sunday afternoon, jazz brunch on Sunday. And if you can just post that information on our Facebook page, I guess you already have the link there. So Dagny saying to please enjoy and support this locally produced event. And we'll go now to Margaret calling from Harmony. Hi, Margaret. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, I'm Margaret Bushman, and I live in Harmony with my husband. We operate Siesta Sanctuary, which is a parrot sanctuary.
And is that what we're hearing, Margaret? We're like, are those kids?
Yeah. We have about 75 parrots of all kinds, large and small, and we encourage people to come visit with their kids. We have a couple that will actually cuddle with you. And you can call us for an appointment or come to the open house, which will be August 3rd from 1 to 5.
Did writing that down right now.
We're all stunned.
Siesta as in nap or fiesta as in party?
Siesta as in nap.
Wait, it does not sound like a place to take a nap. It sounds lively back there.
And are they up for adoption?
Because the parents take a siesta.
Margaret, are they up for adoption, or are you just there to save?
No, these are sanctuary birds, and they're all birds that were received because the people died or went to a nursing home or something happened. Parents live way too long. They live 75 to 100 years, some of them, so nobody can plan their life that far in advance.
So I guess you'll be doing that for quite a while. Well, it sounds very lively there. Thank you, Margaret. Thanks for calling. So that brings us to a question I had for you guys, which is, are there some out-of-the-ordinary places that you would like to recommend people visit in Maine?
That call sets the bar pretty high, I feel
yeah,
like. But,
I
was going to shout out the Maine Potato Blossom Festival way up in Fort Fairfield, which has its 72nd running this year. And I dropped in once years ago. We put it on the scavenger hunt. Among other things, there is the marquee event is mashed potato wrestling, so they fill a giant kiddie pool, a little bigger than a kiddie pool, with mashed potato wrestling, and you have all these little ones. And I think grown-ups can do it, jumping in there and hurling mashed potatoes at each other. So pretty quirky, maybe not parrot quirky.
That's pretty quirky, yeah.
Wow. I have a place that maybe it's not quirky at all, but it's been on my list to get to for a long time, and supposedly the view is amazing. Height of Land.
Yeah.
Oh, have
sure.
you both been there?
Great spot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's I wouldn't call that quirky, but it's a gorgeous scenery from up there. You're kind of
height of
the name suggests, you're at the height of land. You're looking out over the lakes, and it's just a beautiful view from there.
Okay. You're looking out over Moosluk Maguntuk, and that is a quirkily named lake.
That's yeah. true.
There you go. I know. Yeah. I always thought, you know, when we were talking about camp places to, you know, bring families, that South Arm Campground always looked like an interesting place on the southern tip of that lake. But one of the places Mary had mentioned, Stonington, earlier, and one of the my favorite quirky places, if you want to call it that, is Nervous Nelly's Jams and Jellies in, and Deer Isle, because what they do there, not only do they make great jams and jellies and things, but they have a sculptor there that makes all these sculptures, and so it's a sculpture garden, and they have this little village that they've put together with, they have like an old gas station, an old restaurant, an old, you know, different buildings they put together, and all the sculpture are made out of garbage and junk, you know, different junk that was found in landfills and that kind of thing, and they even have a Camelot castle in the woods that you can go see the Knights of the Round Table and such. So that's always been one of my favorite spots.
I'm not going to get the date right, but they're also doing some kind of like site-specific theater out there this summer, which is tied into a significant anniversary, maybe 50th, sorry guys, of the Stonington Opera House. So as we sing Stonington's praises, check out their website because they have some pretty cool events going on.
Terrific. Well, on the line with us now is John Hansen. He is publisher of Maine Boats, Homes, and Harbors magazine. Thanks for joining us, John.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. I'm sitting here in my office in Rockland looking out at the harbor that's blowing like stink, and there are schooners out with sails up. So
is it raining?
Summer is here.
Oh, okay. Well, tell us a little bit about your magazine.
Well, we've been publishing Maine Boats, Homes, and Harbors for 32 years, and it really is about what the name says. And it is a celebration of the maritime life that we hold so dear here in the coast of Maine. Boat building, art, architecture, I mean, everything that's going on the coast is about what we do.
And I understand you have some suggestions for marine-related things to do around the state.
Well, first we'll have to blow our own horn. We have a live version of the magazine we do every year, the Maine Boat and Home Show in Rockland, and it's this year, August 9 to 11. And here you can meet the makers of boats and art and other cool stuff in a wonderful waterfront environment and with great food, too. And the special exhibit this year is called Get Involved, which is a salute to the organizations, clubs, and schools who share their knowledge and passion for life in the coast with all comers. And so if you want to learn about how to build a boat, we'll be groups there that will help. Or if you want to learn about ice boats or how to sail even or kayak, my favorite is that... the Maine Ocean School, which I don't know if you guys know about, is a brand new charter school, high school, that is devoted to training kids for the sea, are going to be demonstrating the cordless canoe challenge, where they're going to be racing canoes powered by Makita power tool heads. And it should be very exciting, and we're hoping that this can become an annual event open to all high school students. So it could be quite exciting. They've been doing this for years over in England, and my friend Peter Greenfield of Watercraft Magazine said, please give it a go. And so we're very, very excited about it. And the Maine Ocean School kids are absolutely terrific. And so I'm thrilled to have them take the lead in this. And it's a wonderful mix of engineering, boat building, and I'd say zany engineering.
Zany. Well, that sounds so interesting. Thank you for calling, John.
Good. Well, thank you very much,
sure.
And go summer.
All right. John Hansen is publisher of Maine Boats, Homes, and Harbors magazine. And we have an email from Melanie. She says, I wanted to let you know about a new event taking place this summer in Acton, Maine, on July 27th and 28th, the Maine Renaissance Fair, where history meets hilarity and friends become family. It brings together actors, artisans, history buffs, and fantasy lovers in a two-day event packed with performances, food, and fun. The setting is the Village of Yorkshire in the year 1571. Visitors will be welcomed at the opening gate ceremony by Queen Elizabeth I and her court. It sounds like a lot of fun. Melanie says, we felt that the community was missing an event like this. It's a wonderful opportunity to bring folks together for 2 days of fun and fantasy. We are thrilled to be bringing back this annual tradition. So thanks for that comment, Melanie. Any other sort of festivals along that line that you guys wanted to highlight?
Well, we're talking about, if we're talking about culture and heritage, the Maine Bach Experience is something that happens annually here in the Portland area. It takes place in July, and it's just a number of classical music events that take place in various venues. I think they even have something called like Beer and Bach or something that was just an event in the Portland. Somewhere in Portland, I don't remember exactly the details, but Portland Bach Experience, you can look online and get the information of it, but it's several different activities and events related to Baroque music and classical music and that kind of thing.
Great. Well, you mentioned beer, so I'm going to segue. We have Sean calling from South Portland. Hi, Sean. You're on the air.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Sure. What did you want to talk about?
Yeah, so as people are planning their summer travel, you know, we've got breweries in all 16 counties in Maine now. So on the Maine Brewers Guild website, the organization I work for, mainebrewersguild.org, you can find a new trip planner tool. So we know that we got some data from the Maine Office of Tourism. Thank you, Steve and crew. And we found that 1 in 5 tourists to Maine visit a brewery. And I think the number of Mainers who visit a brewery as a percentage is even higher. On our website, you can filter and sort by the regions that you're going to in Maine, as well as things like outdoor seating or family friendly or dining, and then print out or email a Google map to yourself or some friends to plan your own brewery tour around Maine. And we also have the biggest beer festival in Maine that we're hosting, new location. I don't know if you guys ever been out to Fort Preble by Spring Point Lighthouse in South Portland. But it's, you know, an old fort there surrounded by islands and the ocean and beaches right next to a lighthouse. So it's kind of the postcard perfect beer festival, and it will be the biggest one in Maine, and that's on July 27th.
Wow, a lot happening. Well, thank you, Sean, for calling in. And we've talked about how this is the hot thing. I mean, people coming from all over the world to Maine to go on these beer tours and go to these remote breweries all over the state.
I just wrote that one up that Sean was mentioning, the one on July 27th as being the biggest. And I was like, wait a minute, there's another one on the 26th somewhere else. You know, they're just nonstop beer festivals. Yeah, there's one in Lewiston, Auburn in June. You know, I mean, it's really about the food trucks too, right? I mean, you go and you're outside. And
combination.
Yeah, yeah, in a beautiful spot.
So that brings us to food, which we could have done a whole show on, of course. And that's my family's favorite reason to go to someplace for food. But so in and around Maine, what food-oriented, either festivals or destinations, would you recommend?
There's a new one coming up in Skowhegan this year. It's agriculturemaine.org is where you can get the information. And essentially what they're doing is doing off tours of the grain producers in the area, so the farms in the area. So they're doing tours, and then they're also tying in the farms with the producers themselves in the community. And so what's happening is you tour the farm that grows the grains, and then you go to Maine Grains and you can have food there. You go to the Crooked Face Creamery and they have, you know, food and cheeses and those kinds of things there. They have different farms, and then those grains are then used at the brewery in town. You're just talking about breweries, so they use the brewery. The Miller's Table is a restaurant in town that uses the grains from local their local farmers. And so it's going to be an event with free food samples, drinks, and demonstrations. Are going to be kids' activities and vendors and that kind of thing. I think it's going to be an interesting event for food.
Wait, when is that?
Mary's writing it down.
I love Skowhegan.
Yeah, it's in June. Actually, it's coming up next month, June 15th.
You know, we just wrote up Maine Grains in Skowhegan in the last couple of months, and I didn't get to go, but it sounded like an amazing place. It's in the old jail. Do I have that right?
It is, and it looks like, I mean, you feel like you're in the jail. But in a good way.
I haven't been in jail, Mary.
What do you know there?
We were in Skowhegan last year camping outside at like the classic, like it was a Jellystone campground, like the very classic thing. It's what my parents used to do with me in like central Wisconsin growing up. But there was a beer festival naturally happening in Skowhegan that weekend, and that was a really fun time. So I guess check out Skowhegan, huh?
They also have the Kneading Conference at the end of July, which is a big deal.
Huh. Yeah, Kneading Conference. And what I like about, we're talking about food.
Kneading dough,
yes.
Mm-hmm. People from
Maine Grains
around,
and kneading dough,
around the country, maybe even some international people. I mean, if you care about bread, you go to that thing.
Yeah, and then we were talking about foods. You know, they have their bakery is in a bank, and they call it the bankery. You know, and I thought that was kind of interesting. And it's really, and it's pretty good too, because I've had some of the cookies from there.
Oh, yum. Okay. We have a couple related Facebook posts. Machias Wild Blueberry Festival, August 16th through 18th. Crafts, road race, musical entertainment, pancake breakfast, and lots more. Visit www.machiasblueberry.com. We also have a Facebook message from Jenny that says Maine Farm Days and Maine Open Farm Days are taking place at locations all over the state. So, so much to get to. We will take another quick break right now. When we come back, more of your questions and comments. You're listening to Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Patriot Subaru. Now featuring the 2019 all-wheel drive, 7-passenger Subaru Ascent. More at patriotsubaru.com. And Maine Writers and Publishers Alliance, hosting the Maine Literary Awards, June 13th in Bangor. Learn more at mainewriters.org.
About 50,000 people a year die of opioid overdoses. Why then might a new drug to treat addiction be blocked from the market until 2024?
We are deemed safe and effective by FDA, but we are unable to make the product available to patients during this crisis.
I'm Mary Louise Kelly. That story this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered, weekday evenings from 4 to 6:30. Maine Public Classical brings 24/7 great classical music listening to many areas of Maine, and now we have a new station serving many areas in York County. It's up and running. If you love classical music, are curious about Maine Public Classical and how to find it, visit mainepublic.org. We have stations in Portland, Bangor, Waterville, the western Maine Bridgeton area, down east, and also along the coast from Booth Bay, Brunswick. The new station serving many areas of York County is at 102.3 FM. Again, that's 102.3. It's broadcasting from the Sanford-Kennebunkport area. Maine Public Classical, if you love classical music, need a break from the news, or just want to check it out, enjoy.
Welcome back. I'm Cindy Hahn, and you're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, we're talking about places to go in and around Maine this summer. Joining me, Steve Lyons with the Maine Office of Tourism, Mary Poles with Maine Women Magazine and 95 North, and Brian Kevin with Down East Magazine. Join our conversation. Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-399-3566, and we will go now to Karen calling from Kennebunk. Hi, Karen. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. I wanted to recommend that people take a look at the Center for Wildlife over in Cape Natick. It's just a fabulous place. It's a great place to take kids. What they do is people bring them injured wild animals, you know, porcupines, birds, whatever gets injured, little turtles. And when they can, they nurse them back to health and release them back to the wild. But the other thing is that because some of them can't be released, it's sort of like that the state one in Gray. They have what they call ambassador animals, and for $5 you get a guided tour around, and they tell you about all the little animals. And it's a great way for kids to really understand some of the interactions that are negative that happen, like people find a baby turtle and take it home, you know, that's a bad idea. So it's at Cape Natick. They have a terrific Facebook presence, and anybody who's interested could go on there.
Well, terrific. Thanks for sharing that, Karen. Have you guys heard of that one?
No, that's new to me. It sounds cool.
My kids would have liked that. We have an email about the Maine River Frolic at the Windsor Fairgrounds. Is it Fiver Frolic? Actually, I'm trying to read this one. On June 1st and 2nd, we have an email or Facebook post from Jennifer. The annual Acadian Festival in Madawaska in August. So all kinds of interesting festivals. And we will go to Dick now, calling from Brooksville. Hi, Dick. You're on the air.
Hi. Just wanted to talk to you about the Magadoo Theater, which is a new summer theater that started in Brooksville, Maine, on the coast. It's right on the river and in an old barn. And they have performers from New York, and it's the best legitimate theater you'll find in the area.
Terrific. So what's on tap for the summer?
There's a Shakespeare performance going on right now. It's an amalgam of various Shakespearean pieces.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, Dick. Did you guys have some sort of
theater at Monmouth has a 50th anniversary this year, I think, and they've got a really ambitious program. They're doing some cool stuff, including a couple of pieces of Shakespeare. If you want to see Shakespeare in the park, I know there's a handful of places to do that, but that's kind of a quintessential summer thing. The Bangor Arts Festival is in mid-July somewhere. I'm going to say check out downtownbangor.org or something along those lines as the website. And they do an outdoor Shakespeare performance along with a bunch of other really cool. There's a mural project that goes up. These paper murals that are wheat pasted up. There's like live drawing exhibitions where lingerie models come out sponsored by the local underwear store.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You can do some live drawing. It just sounds like a really fun thing. I caught a little bit of it last summer.
Great.
No, I was always going to say, Maine is just well known for all the summer stock theater. I mean, there's so many places throughout the state, Celebration Barn Theater, Algonquin Playhouse, Booth Bay Playhouse. I mean, there's so many places that you can get really great theater in this state.
Main State Music Theater.
Main State Music Theater, yeah. There are always some great shows there, yeah.
We always say here it's an embarrassment of riches between theater, writers, artists. It's amazing. Email from John. He says, go to Nisel Hall in Blue Hill all summer and free young artist concerts. There's a good one. So many more. This is an email from Chris. To anyone wanting to explore Maine's lakes and rivers, the Maine Canoe Symposium offers hands-on workshops and instruction on all things canoeing and camping in Maine. The event requires sign-up and is held on Moose Pond in Bridgeton, Maine, June 7th through 9th. And he's got more info there at Maine Canoe Symposium. org. So thank you, Chris. We're already running out of time, so I wanted to get to you all because I know you have more things on your list. So what do you want to talk about, Mary?
Oh, well, I wanted to mention that for Mainers, before the tourists really, really get here, I know they're actually out on the road because I drove through them today to get to work, but L.L. Bean is doing something at their Discovery Center, free classes from May 25th to June 30th. So that's a good opportunity for people to get out there and learn how to paddleboard so you can. And I took a class there. I have to say, I could never stand up on one of those things until I took that class. They put you in a wetsuit. It's pretty great. And also, Suzette McAvoy mentioned this earlier, but I feel like I have a great excuse to go out to Monhegan for the first time in probably 15 or 20 years to see that Maude Briggs-Knowlton show that opens July 1st. She sounds like a fascinating woman, and, she curated out there and painted, so.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, I mean, I guess what I would say is just in general, I mean, if you're out and about in Maine, I think it's really important to, I mean, there's so many great communities and towns. We have, the Maine Development Foundation has a group, the Maine Downtown Center that allows you to, that people get named sort of Main Street Maine communities. And so what it basically means is you can go into all these communities, there are 10 recognized nationally in the state of Maine right now, and it's at mainstreetmaine.org. You can get the information on that. But basically what it is talking about these small communities that have great restaurants and great retail shops and, and great places, the coffee maker, the breweries, all those things, make up these communities. So I would just say take a look at that. If you're looking for some kind of a place to go that's not too far away, there's some great communities within the state of Maine that are members of this Main Street Maine organization.
Would you venture to highlight one or two towns?
Well, we've mentioned Skowhegan a couple of times, but Belfast, Brunswick, Gardner, Saco, Westbrook, some of those, there are others. But like I said, mainstreetmaine.org is the website, and they have a map and they have listings of all the properties and businesses that make up those wonderful communities.
That's always great. It's sort of a one-stop shop. You don't, you just go to this town and see what you discover, which is really fun. How about you, Brian? What do you want to add?
Well, we were talking food before, and I was thinking, I think we're really quickly approaching the day where eating oysters outside is going to be as synonymous with a Maine summer as eating lobster outside. And so I lived in Damariscotta for 6 or 7 years, and the Damariscotta Oyster Celebration, I think just the second annual, is the second weekend in June, or June 13th through 15th. And that's, like you say about these small towns, if you're going to be in Damariscotta, you should be eating oysters. And it sounds like there's shucking competitions and deals at the shuck station and a really nice outdoor oyster bar. The oyster bars have popped up like crazy over the course of the last year and a half around Maine. And so I just feel like that's how we do summer now.
Sounds great.
Aren't you an oyster farmer, Brian?
I'm like sort of a lapsed oyster farmer. I've taken a couple of summers off.
Didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
Oh, so
if you live in Damariscotta, they just issue you some gear upon paying your taxes.
Welcome to town.
Yeah, get out in the low tide zone.
How interesting. We'll go to Paul calling now from Camden. Hi, Paul. What did you want to talk about?
Oh, hi. I just wanted to let you know that there was a production from the Everyman Repertory Theatre Company this summer. We open on the 20th of July and run for 3 weekends. We don't normally do musicals, but this year we are doing a musical. It's called The Big Bang. Mm-hmm. It's basically the history of the world in 75 minutes. And it's a couple of Broadway producers pitching a show to another set of producers in a high-class penthouse apartment, which gets destroyed slowly through the show because they use everything for the props in the show.
That sounds fun.
It's actually the funniest musical I've ever seen. Northport Music Theatre did it a number of years ago, and we saw it then, and we're reviving it with one of the performers from there, David Troop, and the other performer we're using is Slim Goodbody, Mr. John Burstein. And it's actually at the Black Box Theater in Camden Hills Regional High School.
Okay, well, great. Thanks for letting us know about that, Paul. And lots of stuff coming in here from Max calling in Portland. Hi, Max. What did you want to talk about?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to give a shout-out to a summer festival that I help organize. It's a free music festival. This will be our seventh year. It's called Make Music Portland. And normally we have about 90 to 100 free concerts. They happen at venues all over Portland. It happened from about 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. And it's in conjunction, actually, with thousands of other cities around the world. It's part of a global festival called Fête de la Musique. But all the events are free. And this year we're also going to have 9 kind of family-friendly educational events. So like a instrument petting zoo will be one, lessons from local instrumentalists and performers. So all of the information about that and the schedule is on our website at makemusicportland.org.
Great. And I'm going to encourage anybody who's calling in with suggestions to post it on our Main Calling Facebook page as well. And jump right over to Leah calling from Waterville. Hi, Leah. What did you want to talk about?
I wanted to mention the Maine International Film Festival, which starts July 12th and runs through the 21st. And we'll have well over 100 films, many premieres, Maine premieres, some student films, and a lot of very interesting activities, all film-related, always fun.
And has this picked up steam over the years?
It certainly has. It's picked up steam, and we've had many wonderful guests appear, like Terrence Malick and Sissy Spacek, and many, many more.
Any big names to drop for this year's festival?
You know, I can't.
Oh.
I just call the person who is kind of in charge.
We've been trying to get that out of them for a couple of weeks, and it's no
going. You know, you
no
could
going.
Make news right here. Okay, well, thank you for
sharing.
There
will be someone for sure.
That's great, and I think we plan to have a Main Calling show about film and movies coming up at close to that time. So thanks for calling, Leah. And we will go now to Peter calling from Searsport. Hi, Peter. You're on the air.
Hi there. This is Peter Tabor in Searsport, and it's my hometown. I wanted to plug a couple of things in this town, one of which is our Penobscot Marine Museum, which is a whole series of 19th century buildings full of wonderful things. But in particular, I wanted to plug Sears Island. Sears Island is the scene of the longest-running environmental battle in New England history, and it now seems to be solidly something available to the public in the very best possible way. It's the largest wild island in public hands on the East Coast. And you can drive to it, which is another wonderful thing. You don't have to have a boat. It's 5 miles of beaches, and it's also marked with all kinds of terrific, very well marked trails.
Okay.
And it's nothing, you know. There's no razzmatazz or anything commercial. As I say, it's a totally wild island. It was
great.
A gentleman's farm in the 19th century.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Thanks for calling.
You know, I mentioned the Coastal Mountain Land Trust earlier, which is just my local land trust and all the properties they have. I mean, Sears Island is a great example. All the properties of Maine Coast Heritage Trust. And if you live in Maine, like there's one near you. And if you haven't done the thing where you go look it up and go, wow, there's six like amazing little preserves that I had no idea about that are within 10 miles of me, do that before the summer starts in earnest.
Okay. We have 10 seconds, Mary, for travel tips, ways to approach a trip to make it more enjoyable.
Oh, to make it more enjoyable. Look, like arrange your restaurants before you go. Make sure you look them up so that you're not in some small corner of Maine without service trying to figure out where is the best lobster roll.
Oh, good tip. Yeah, plan ahead, right?
Steve, oh, yeah. Always planning ahead. And also ask the local if you're at an inn or an Airbnb. I mean, the locals tend to know what the locals know, and they have a, you know, people are looking to travel like locals nowadays, so find out what the locals are doing.
Great tip. Thank you, guys. Mary, Brian, and Steve, thank you all for joining us today. Mary Poles is editor of Maine Women Magazine and of 95 North. Brian Kevin is editor-in-chief of Down East Magazine, and Steve Lyons is director of Maine Office of Tourism. John Keimel ran the board today. Olivia Peruk took your calls. You can find past editions of Maine Calling at mainecalling.org. Today's show will be rebroadcast tonight at 8, and our theme song was composed by Mike Jandreau. I'm Cindy Hahn. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio. Have a great weekend.